You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to be with you on this Friday morning, January the 11th. Well, many of us in Wisconsin have already had a good dose of winter, early and often, with some near record-breaking snowfall in December. And while we had a bit of a thaw and some rain last week, many of us got fresh snow last night, and the forecast calls for a chance of more scattered light snow statewide today. Temperatures will pretty much be in the 30s. Do you love winter weather? Do you get out as much as possible to enjoy the season? Or do you hunker down inside and wait for spring? Are you experiencing some cabin fever right now? We will talk with a guest this hour who has some remedies for winter cabin fever, not only for us, but for our kids and our grandkids. He says our kids especially don't get out to enjoy nature and the outdoors as much as we did when we were kids. He is with the National Wildlife Federation, which has teamed up with a website called Nature Find to provide a way to find green places in your community, places like regional, state, and national parks and nature centers, to give you some ideas on how you can get outdoors and help yourself and your kids appreciate nature and the world around us. The National Wildlife Federation wants you to consider devoting 1 hour a day to getting outside and doing something fun with the kids, like animal tracking or bird watching or having a winter scavenger hunt, not only to provide relief from cabin fever, but to also remedy what is called nature deficit disorder in children, kids who spend more time playing video games inside than they do making snow angels. Would you be able to do this? Devote 1 hour a day to doing something outdoors? How would you spend a green hour in your community this winter, or this weekend for that matter? Give us some ideas on how you would combat nature deficit disorder in kids and provide some relief for yourself for winter cabin fever. What are your favorite outdoor activities during this time of year? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is David Mizajewski, host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat. He is the spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation and the Green Hour. He is also the author of the award-winning book, Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So tell us the concept behind the Green Hour.
Well, the Green Hour is a program run by National Wildlife Federation, and as you've mentioned, it's all about getting people, kids in particular, outside to combat this notion of nature deficit disorder. And it's helpful to start with that term. It was coined by a researcher named Richard Louv. He wrote a book called Last Child in the Woods. And what the whole concept is about is looking at the fact that over the last 20 or 30 years, kids are spending less and less time outdoors, more time indoors, and the time that kids have is becoming much more rigidly scheduled. And as a result, we're seeing a whole host of problems associated with that, with the indoor lifestyles and with the overscheduling of our kids' lives and the removal of kids' outdoor time. And they range everything from the childhood obesity epidemics that we've been hearing about to increasing rates of childhood diabetes, attention deficit disorder, which the term nature deficit disorder kind of plays on, as well as, you know, creativity lacking and social issues and ability of kids to relate to other kids. All of these research is now finding can be tied back to the sedentary indoor lifestyles, to the overscheduling of our kids' lives, and to the fact that when kids are indoors, they're kind of tied to an electronic umbilical cord. There's research that shows that the average American kid is spending over 6 hours a day in front of electronic screens.
You know, you could, though, probably take care of a lot of these health issues that you talked about by, you know, making, you know, a junior jump on a bicycle, a stationary bicycle downstairs. What about, though, the focus on nature and getting outside?
Right. Well, number one, I think that most kids would probably agree that getting to run around outside a little bit was probably going to be more fun than sitting on a stationary bike.
Right.
So there's just, you know, sort of the child interest in what's going to engage them. But it's bigger than just the health issues, of course. As you know, as a conservation organization, National Wildlife Federation wants to make sure that kids have the ability to have time in nature so that they can experience it. And again, there's a lot of research out there that shows that people that care about the environment, that care about our natural resources, that care about wildlife, had experiences with nature as children. You know, my colleagues here at the National Wildlife Federation, if we just went up and down the rows of cubicles, that you could ask people, why are you here? How did you end up on this career path? Almost everybody would say, well, you know, when I was a kid, I went camping, or I got to go to a summer camp, or, you know, like myself, I had the good fortune to have a stay-at-home mom, and every day after school, I was out running around playing with my friends, and it wasn't always in nature-focused stuff. You know, I did go out and I caught frogs and, you know, I ran around in the woods. But, you know, we were playing, you know, pickup sports and, you know, manhunt and hide and seek and those kinds of games that weren't necessarily nature focused, but they were still that sort of outdoor nature time. But at any rate, having that ability to connect with the natural world in an unstructured way, in the kids' own terms, is really important for developing a conservation ethic. And it's really the first time, not only in sort of human history, but the first time in human existence, that we're raising a generation of people that have no opportunity, really, to have those kinds of experiences. And you can only protect what you love, and you only love what you know. We're not even giving kids a chance to know nature.
We're talking with a guest with the National Wildlife Federation about the Green Hour Project, which encourages you to resolve in this new year to spend an hour a day, or at least some time each day, doing some sort of outside activity in your own backyard or at a community nature center or natural area or at a park. What are your questions about this idea, and what are your thoughts on how you would spend a green hour each day? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, January the 11th. Hope you join Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue. After 5, Ben's guest says, happiness is found not in the grand moments of our lives, but the small ones. A discussion about how to live in the small and be better off for it, coming up after 5 o'clock. Well, I guess we're talking about some small moments too, but with a big purpose. Talking this hour about the project being run by the National Wildlife Federation called the Green Hour, which encourages you to devote an hour a day, or at least some time each day, outside, especially with your kids. It's a way to combat cabin fever that we have this time of year. And it's also a way to remedy what is often referred to as nature deficit disorder in our children who don't get outside as much as we did when we were kids and don't connect with the natural world. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? What sorts of things do you do to connect with nature and avoid cabin fever? How do you enjoy winter? And how would you suggest others might enjoy winter with their kids? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is David Mizajewski. He is host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat. He is the spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation and the Green Hour. And you might have also read his award-winning book, Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife. Before we go to the phones, David, an hour is a long time. I mean, as you mentioned, we're all busy, and kids are rigidly structured. There's work and school and homework and school activities and the like. Can most of us swing an hour a day, do you think?
Well, the hour a day is a goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we understand, obviously, that we do live very busy lives, adults in particular. That's one reason why we're seeing this problem with kids, is that, you know, we ourselves are so overscheduled. But it's a goal. And, you know, mm-hmm. if you can't make a green hour a day, maybe it's a green hour a week. Maybe it's, you know, you make the commitment to get outside for at least 1 hour over the weekend with your kids as a family, or give your kids the opportunity to get outside, whether it's in your own backyard or community community park or, you know, a play date with another, you know, other parents watching the kids outside somewhere. You know, it is a goal, and we really think that it can make a big difference in a lot of these health issues like obesity, like diabetes, you know, if kids are getting the outdoor exercise, as well as giving them that opportunity to connect with nature.
Yeah. Let's take some calls. Joel in Elkhorn is with us first. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hi, Joel.
Hi. Well, my wife bought me some snowshoes for Christmas.
Oh,
and
lucky you.
Yeah, I've got girls 2 and 4, and I pulled them around on the sled as I just went through. Well, we live in a subdivision that is a preserve, and we have a walking trail, and there's some wetlands, and, you know, I'm just really lucky that way.
Oh, you really are. Snowshoeing I haven't done that in a really long time. And just getting the girls out to go sledding, too.
Yeah, it's as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm an elementary school principal, and, you know, one of my favorite parts of the day is just going outside for recess, and you can see kids with really no game, no purpose, you know, arms up in the air, running around, and just smiling.
Right, yeah.
You know, we sometimes think you have to have all these organized activities and things. Just turn them loose and watch them. They'll
right.
figure it out.
That's really important in that, again, there's research out there that shows that unstructured playtime, exactly like what you're talking about, can really go a long way in helping kids develop a sense of creativity and, in fact, helps them do better on school test scores. Now, at the same time, I mean, you're probably aware of this, in many places in the country, kids are not even getting outdoor recess time anymore. And
right.
that's part of what... Yeah, that's part of what Green Hour is about as well. You know, it's a website that's a resource for parents and caregivers and teachers to give them the ideas and information to help them get their kids outside. But there's also a movement afoot called No Child Left Inside, which is a play on the No Child Left Behind Act, where we're trying to get some legislation passed to make it a priority to put some of this outdoor time back into the regular school day and make science and environmental education a priority again, because unfortunately it's sort of gone by the wayside, and that's a contributing factor to nature deficit disorder. So that's so great to hear that you know, someone at your level is observing that and making it a priority in your school.
Yep, and I will inform our families about what you're doing. I'm very impressed. It's very cool.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Joel. The website I have on this material how do you get to the website that you're referring to?
The website, the Green Hour website, is pretty simple. It's www.greenhour.org, and that's the main site. And through there, we have a really cool feature called Nature Find.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a partner that we've partnered with. And what you can do with that is put in your zip code or even just your city and state. And what it'll do is call up a list of all of the outdoor areas within that area. Now, I just put in Madison, Wisconsin, just while we're talking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several dozen parks and nature centers and other places like that. So, you know, we're trying to make it easy for people, even if you don't have nature literally in your own yard, even if you don't have a yard, maybe you live in an urban area and you're in an apartment or something like that, you can find parks, nature centers, you know, museums, places that have outdoor opportunities. And what's great about it is that it'll tell you what kinds of things that center or that place offers. So do they have events? Do they have walking trails? Are there biking trails? Can you camp there, etc.? So you can find that right at the website greenhour.org.
Thanks very much, Joel, for the call. Next we go to Rhonda in Arborvita. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, Rhonda.
How are you?
Good.
I have a daughter who tends to be something of a couch potato. I went ahead and bought her a digital camera. And since I have, she's out there stalking the wildlife continually. And I've been a lifelong birder, so I kind of steered her towards the birds. But she will spend an hour and a half to 2 hours outdoors just taking pictures. And if it's something she can't identify, then, you know, we'll come back inside and we'll look it up. If we can't find it in one of my books, we'll go online. She absolutely adores it.
Oh, what a great idea.
That's another really excellent idea. And, in fact, that's one of the ideas that we have up on the Green Hour website. The website is set up as the main feature on there is a journal written by a mom with two kids. And she kind of does all these activities and kind of chronicles from the point of view of a parent so that other parents can go on there and relate. And one of the activities that she's recently done is just that, is talking about, hey, you know, kids can have so much fun with a cheap digital camera. Get them outside. It's a great way to sort of help them experience nature. It kind of piques their creativity. They're going to go out and they're going to take photos. And I love the fact that when you do come back inside, you kind of continue the activity and, you know, help kids connect with nature even more, even once they're indoors. And on this nature journal that's on the website, it describes the activity and the mom's experience. But then there's also a book nook with other resources and a make and do section for each activity that tells you, you know, what kind of items you might need to do it. In this case, you know, you need a digital camera, a parent's guide, resources. So there's just so much information. If you're a parent out there and, you know, you're feeling like you can't get outside, definitely check out the website and you'll get great ideas like Rhonda's.
Rhonda, thanks very much. What a great idea.
Well, I'm so glad that you're focusing on this today. This is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Thank you. It's really important.
Yeah. And you can do it just in your own backyard. You don't have to live like Joel did on a nature preserve.
Right.
And you can, as simple as maybe even putting up bird feeders in your backyard.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, one of the reasons why I think that we're seeing this phenomenon of nature deficit disorder is that, again, adults are feeling overscheduled ourselves, and we don't have the time to get outside. But there's also, I hate to use the word paranoia, but I feel like there is, like, parents today are a little bit more worrisome than maybe 20, 30 years ago. And, you know, we're afraid of kids getting hurt. We're afraid of germs. And, and I think maybe some of that is a little bit the result of sort of media overblowing some of these problems. And, in fact, again, there's research out there that shows that kids that get exposure to, you know, some germs and dirt outside actually do better in terms of asthma and allergies and things like that. There's also this fear of sexual predators. And research, you know, parents are afraid that if they let their kids out and, you know, that they're going to get kidnapped or be the victim of a sexual predator. But the research shows that kids are way more likely to come in contact with someone like that online than they are ever outside in their neighborhoods and their communities and their towns. Yet parents are much more comfortable plunking their kid down in front of the computer than letting them outside. And so there's this sort of irony involved there.
Yeah.
And like you said, your backyard is the perfect place to do this. I mean, you mentioned my show on Animal Planet and my book. Mm-hmm. They're all about creating sort of natural spaces right in your yard, in your garden. Even if you have a tiny little city yard or a rooftop or a balcony, you can plant things that will help attract in and provide habitat for local wildlife, even if it's just birds and butterflies. And what a great way and a safe place where parents can let their kids outside to experience nature, to take photos like Rhonda's daughter, or just whatever, you know, to play in that unstructured way in a safe place. So it can be done right in your own backyard.
Yeah, I apparently have perfect habitat underneath the deck in my backyard for a family of bunnies, but that's okay with me.
Yeah, that's fine. At least they're not skunks, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're talking with David Mizajewski. He is host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat, spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation, and The Green Hour. He is the author of Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife. We're talking about this project called The Green Hour, sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation, encouraging you and your kids to get outside for an hour a day or sometime each day to enjoy nature and to appreciate the big outdoors. We'll talk more after the news. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Friday, January the 11th. We are talking with a guest from the National Wildlife Federation this hour who wants you and your kids to devote some time each day, up to an hour each day, getting outside and enjoying nature, not only as a way to cure cabin fever, but to cure what is sometimes referred to as nature deficit disorder in children. We are talking about the Green Hour this hour, a project that is sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation. And we are talking about some ideas and some fun outdoor activities in your own backyard or your own community. And we wonder what you are trying to do with your kids or grandkids so that they can have a good relationship with the natural world and a respect for the environment, and that they can get outside and just blow off some steam, help cure some of kids' health issues these days, too. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. What do you do to get outside and avoid cabin fever during the winter? What winter activities do you enjoy doing? Or what did you enjoy doing as a kid that you think would be great for kids today who don't get outside as much as we perhaps did? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You can get more information on areas in your community that parks and nature centers and more ideas on how you might spend a green hour outdoors by going to the website greenhour.org. But right now we're looking for your input and your suggestions and your questions about this issue. Do you think it is a problem that kids don't get out as much as we did? How would you combat nature deficit disorder in children? What do you do to enjoy our winter wonderland here in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Our guest is David Mizajewski. He is host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat. He is the spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation and the Green Hour. He is the author of the book Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife. I'm wondering, David, we were talking a little bit before the newscast about how kids are spending too much time indoors and maybe too much time in front of the computer, and how that computer might be less safe than it is to be outside. But you know what? I have nieces and nephews who love being in front of that computer. They love playing Guitar Hero or Dance Revolution or these video games, and I think they enjoy the outdoors too. But there could certainly be some kids who just might grump at this idea.
Well, that's true. I think first thing that I would say to that is that sometimes kids grump at things that are good for them, but they still have to do them. You know, eating your vegetables might be one of them. And, you know, this isn't meant to be necessarily a, you know, a condemnation of all electronic media. I mean, obviously, you know, electronic media is good. It can be a catalyst. I mean, we've created this website, you know, and so I think it's about balance. You know, 6+ hours a day for the average American kid to be in front of an electronic screen is too much, you know, and so I think that's where parents have to be parents and say, you know, an hour of TV or, you know, an hour of on the computer is all that we're going to be able to do, you know, that kind of thing, and limit it, and, you know, or play the video games or what have you. You know, and I think that it's going to take the commitment of parents to say, you know, I want my kids to be active. I want them to get fresh air. I don't want them to be stuck inside all day. I want them to be able to be creative. I want them to care about nature. You know, these are things that are important to parents, and in fact, I mean, I think that they're American values. So, you know, it's really a call to action on the part of parents and other caregivers, you know, teachers and school administrators, to make this a priority. And that's why we've created this program. We really want to help with that, give folks the resources that they need, that they've asked for, and that they've expressed that they don't have already to be able to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, this is something that you encourage to go all year long, but we're doing a program on it now because a news release did go out around the holidays, because that's, I'm sure, a time when cabin fever does start setting in.
Absolutely.
With the kids on break, and some kids still are on break.
Right, yeah. And how many parents want to pull their hair out because they've got, you know, kids home for a week, and what do we do with them? And, you know, bundle them up and go outside. You know, one of our callers, Joel, got a pair of snowshoes and went and took his daughters on the sled. You know, that's simple. The girls got to get some fresh air. They probably got to see some nature that they otherwise wouldn't have done otherwise. And guess what? It's great for parents, too. Mm-hmm. You know, getting a little bit of exercise is a good thing. So, you know, even if it's just going out and making snow angels or building, you know, a snowman or maybe a snow deer to give it a nature theme. You know, you mentioned at the
that's
top of the show tracking. Mm-hmm. Snow is a great it holds prints. You know, you can see what critters are around.
Yeah, the bunnies in my backyard.
Yeah, and And you know, like Rhonda, our other caller, you know, maybe you go out and you look for tracks and you take photos of them, or you sketch them in a nature journal, and then you go back inside and look them up and try to figure out what animals are around you. Be a little nature detective. I mean, these are fun things. They're things that stimulate creativity. They're things that will give kids and adults exercise. So rather than just sit inside and, you know, be a couch potato and sit indoors and not experience nature and the beautiful cold, get outside, have a little bit of fun with it, and it's really a good thing for everybody involved.
I loved her idea about the digital camera that she gave her daughter, and her daughter goes out and takes photos of different birds, and then they have fun trying to identify them. That just sounds like a great idea.
And you know, that's another great example of what you know, what might seem like something that your child might not be interested in. Rhonda said that her daughter was really kind of not an outdoorsy kind of kid. And, you know, and yet a simple solution that even used a bit of technology was able to sort of get her out there. And so parents, be creative and don't sort of give up if your kid mumbles and grumbles a little bit at first. You know, I mean, it's really good for them. And keep trying. I mean, your kid might not be into photography. They might not ever want to pick up a camera. But, you know, you never know if they're a budding ornithologist. You know, once they identify that first bird, you know, it might spark a lifelong interest.
Yeah, maybe.
So keep trying. Don't give up.
Let's take some more calls. Bob in Madison is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hello. My father, we were on a farm, had this convenient saying that there's no bad weather, just bad clothes.
Good one.
But this winter, I had a cough until I finally, well, we got decently cold weather and spent time outside shoveling and just time outside. But I was inside quite a bit and I couldn't get over the cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a an interesting point, and it makes me think of the indoor air pollution that we suffer. I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, sort of another green living, green lifestyle tip is to be aware of sort of the off-gassing, which is sort of the leaching out of chemicals from furniture and carpeting and paints and things like that that we have indoors. And in some cases, indoor air pollution is far worse than what we're experiencing outside. You know, in offices, they have this thing called sick building syndrome, where the air just kind of gets recirculated and recirculated. And I think what your situation speaks to, Bob, is the benefit of getting some fresh air and getting some exercise and how that can actually help your immune system and help you get over, you know, maybe some of these illnesses. I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, hey, if you're feeling sick, get outside in the cold. But I think there's some common sense there, some common wisdom that, you know, even if you just open the window a little bit and let some fresh air in, you know, it could go a long way to helping you. And I do think that you'll probably find studies that show that people that do get some physical activity and, you know, and sort of boost your metabolism, that can go a long way in helping you, you know, feel better and help your immune system and all that kind of thing. So,
yeah, and while there's a lot of fun things that you can do with your kids outside, there's nothing wrong with having the kids help you shovel, too.
That's right.
Yeah, we're going to check our weather forecast, and then we're looking for more of your ideas on what you do during this time of year, during the winter, to get outside and enjoy nature and the outdoors, and what you think our kids and grandkids could also do to get out as much as we did, perhaps, when we were kids. Kids today don't get out as much, and that's one of the reasons the National Wildlife Federation is sponsoring what it calls the Green Hour Project, where you are encouraged to get outside with your kids for an hour a day to enjoy nature and to learn more about the outdoors and to connect with the natural world. 1-800-642-1234. We welcome your favorite outdoor activities during the winter and suggestions you might have for other listeners on how they might get their kids outside a little bit more than they do now. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, we will talk with a guest who says both the conservative and liberal media got it wrong during the New Hampshire primary and the Iowa caucuses, for that matter. We'll talk with a guest who says that our media are just not connected with real voters. Right now, we're talking about the Green Hour with David Mizajewski, host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat, a spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation's Green Hour. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our next caller is Alyssa in Waukesha. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Although I don't have kids of my own, I was a nanny in Boston for 2.5 years, and I had two little girls under the age of 5, and we spent many long days feeling cabin feverish in the house, and we made it a tradition to go on a daily treasure walk year-round. They lived in the city, and sometimes our treasures would just be a bead from someone's bracelet that fell off on the sidewalk, but we would always try to discover new flowers, and we would talk about how ice forms in the winter, and we'd look at all the different snowmen in all the different yards and then come home and build our own. And there's just so many questions that they had to ask, and we had so many opportunities to learn at things even on a one city block.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so fun, and they loved it every day. When are we going on our treasure walk? And often we'd walk to the library and get books on wildlife we might have seen. If we saw a chipmunk, we'd talk about that. And I looked forward to it every day as much as they did, because it was an opportunity to get out of the house. And even in the winter, it was just as much fun.
What a great idea, and calling it a treasure walk, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, that speaks to start young. You know, I mean, for parents, I feel like maybe, you know, they're afraid that their kids aren't into getting outside. I think it's all about starting good habits. And Alyssa, that's just such a genius thing, because it's a perfect example of what Green Hour is all about. It's simple. It's something that is, you know, helpful. I mean, you're stuck bored in the house with these two little girls, and get outside with them. And it didn't require you to be, you know, a botanist or, mm-hmm. you know, even a child education specialist. These are just simple, fun, common sense things that will give the kids some exercise. It'll give them some creativity. You know, I mean, just what you were saying, you know, the treasure, helping them imagine this as kind of, you know, a treasure hunt is a really great way to, you know, stimulate that creative sense in children. And making it a daily ritual is also so huge. You know, again, not everybody can do that, but even if you make it a weekly ritual, it'll go a really long way in helping to combat nature deficit disorder. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for that idea, Alyssa.
You're welcome.
And that reminded me of the winter scavenger hunt that I read about in the material. Can you tell us a little bit about how you might maybe, is it just like this, you just kind of off the cuff, or could you organize a winter scavenger hunt?
Yeah, well, you can do it either way. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of do like what Alyssa was just talking about doing, in going out in a very informal way and just kind of looking for things. One of the which is sort of simple and passive, and, mm-hmm. and you know, you can take it much further though if you want. And you know, as Alyssa said, you can go to the library, you can research on your treasures on your, you know, that you found on your scavenger hunt. You can create a nature journal and take or a scrapbook. You know, scrapbooking is kind of huge and it's kind of crafty right now. So, you know, take the items that you can back and, you know, write a little note about them. So you can do it, you know, in a singular fashion like that, or you can organize the neighborhood kids together, and you can make a formal list, and you can make a whole day of it, get the parents involved, and go out and find nature items, you know, and it can be simple things. It could be, you know, a yellow rock or a, you know, an oak leaf.
A pine cone.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, again, something that requires adults to be nature experts themselves in order to do this kind of stuff. And think how much fun the kids will have. And, you know, maybe there's a prize at the end, or, you know, I mean, you can get really creative as a parent, as an adult, you know, creating these experiences for the kids. So you can make it really involved. You can make it really simple. It's really what you want to do. But the point is just do it. Get outside. And it really will be a rewarding experience, I guarantee it.
Yeah. Next, we go to Joyce in Oconomowoc. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about Alyssa. She must have been a wonderful nanny.
Yeah.
And the thing that delighted me was she said sometimes it would be just a little bead that they picked up from a lost bracelet or something. And children will delight in that one little bead. They just love it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I called about. I called about the fact that my daughter and her family visited here from England over Easter or Christmas break. And it was delightful that we had snow. And one thing my daughter said to me at one point, she said, "Mom, can we go on a winter picnic like we used to do when you were little?" And we used to do that. We'd pack up a plastic tablecloth. I'd get a thermos and put hot water in it and then pop three hot dogs in it, three wieners, and then take hot dogs. We'd go over to the park and we'd spread out our plastic and we'd have a winter picnic. They just loved it. And that's the one thing, besides sledding and all that kind of stuff, she wanted to do that with her children when she was here. And so
I do too. Wieners and hot water in a thermos. I have never heard of that choice.
Yeah, you just pop them in the boiling water, and by the time you get your whole spread out, those hot dogs are hot, and you pop them in the buns and whatever else you have, and it's wonderful. And that's the thing that my daughter remembers. She doesn't remember going down to, famous parks or famous places or things like that. She remembers the little tiny things like the winter picnic.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and it's so important to create these traditions. You know, if you do these things with your children, that says it all right there. That's why we want kids to have these experiences, because if they have them, they'll value them, and then they'll want to repeat them with their own kids. And again, we'll sort of reinforce this, what I think is an American tradition of love of our outdoors and outdoor experiences, that we're unfortunately in sort of a period where that's not really being emphasized as much. And the other thing that I want to point out is that on our website, on the greenhour.org website, again, we don't want to be preachy. We don't want to just necessarily throw all this stuff out there. Part of what the website is all about is a community where people can come and share ideas like all of the callers have shared. And that is where actually a lot of the wealth of the information is. It's just hearing from other people, from parents and grandparents who have done this stuff. And, you know, again, like that idea of Joyce's with hot dogs and a thermos, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
You know, the sharing component, too, that's a really big piece of what the website is all about. So I definitely encourage folks, go online and be inspired and use that as a catalyst to get ideas to go outside.
Yeah. I may not do the hot dogs, but I'm going to go on a winter picnic, I think, this winter.
I love it. I think that's a great idea.
Vincent Dodgeville, hi. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I have two questions. One is about our authors or our guests' views of the nature magazines that many of the environmental organizations put out, like Ranger Rick and Your Big Backyard and that sort of thing. They used to focus more on the exotic animals of Africa and that sort of thing, but I noticed that some of them now are just focusing on what is in your backyard and get out and see it and that sort of thing. And the other point is nature at night. It's a completely different experience. It's not a lot of green out there, but it can be very magical. I was telling my grandchildren about an experience when I was a kid on my grandfather's farm, and one memorable night he woke me up at midnight and took me out into the full moon, and we heard a wolf howling, and one of those things I'll never forget from the time I must have been 7 or 8 years old. And when I told my own grandchildren about this, they got pretty excited, and when they were visiting here, I did take them out and during the winter, and it was a full moon and stars are out, and they started singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and it was quite an exhilarating, moment, and one of those magic moments that kind of stick in your memory for the rest of your life.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. It's actually ironic that you bring that up, because the feature journal activity from our mom, who writes on the website, is actually creating a moon journal. And what that is simply just looking at the moon one night and having your kids draw a picture of it and kind of note the weather conditions and that kind of thing, and be little citizen scientists and kind of do that for a week or two, and you can really watch the change in the moon. I think nighttime's a great time to get out. You could do that in the winter, and when it's warmer out, another really fun nighttime thing that you can do is hang a white sheet outside and shine a light on it, and that will attract in all sorts of really cool night-flying insects that you might not otherwise have seen, and you can just observe them, bring out a field guide. Listening for night sounds is another thing that you can do year-round. You might be fortunate enough if you live in a more wild area to hear a wolf, but maybe you'll hear a coyote, maybe you'll just hear crickets. But what a magical thing that is, and it's I'm experiencing nature with a sense that we kind of take for granted our hearing. You know, we're such visual creatures that sometimes we take for granted our sense of smell and touch and hearing. So I think nighttime is a great time to do that. So I think that's a great idea. Now, to your first question, I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. National Wildlife Federation actually publishes Ranger Rick magazine, as well as Big Backyard and Wild Animal Baby. And through those three publications, we kind of try to reach kids directly from the toddler age with Wild Animal Baby that's being read to them by parents and is designed with, you know, sort of that age range of the research that backs up how they learn. So lots of photos, lots of colors, rounded edges so they don't poke their eyes, drool-proof paper, to Your Big Backyard, which is ages 3 to 7, and then Ranger Rick, 7 to preteen. These are great resources that are filled with, you know, again, age-appropriate learning. They teach literacy mm-hmm. skills, and our hope is that that's another way that we inspire kids to connect with nature.
Well, I'm sorry, we're out of time. I've been inspired, and I'm sure many of our listeners have, and more ideas at the website greenhour.org. David, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
David Mizajewski, host of Animal Planet's Backyard Habitat, spokesperson for the National Wildlife Federation's Green Hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.